bully, right? That first time you got beat up or the first time that you got hit, right? Like that changed your life. It changed the way you saw things. It changed your perspective on like, oh, maybe I'm not going to go down that alley anymore. I'm not going to say that to that person. Or maybe the first time, or maybe it never happened, hopefully, maybe you got fired or you got dumped, right? Like rejected. Those are all encounters that can change our life, the trajectory of what's going on. Well, so we're talking about a different kind of encounter this month. We're talking about an encounter with Jesus. But similarly, like other encounters in our life, I find that, you know, there's gonna be times where it takes more than one encounter to get over things, right? Like you would think, like, oh man, I got dumped for doing this. I'll never do that again. But has anyone ever been dumped more than once? Or has anyone been rejected or fired maybe more than once? Or maybe been hit in the face more than once? Or maybe you had love at first sight more than once, right? Like there are things that we would think, oh my gosh, that's gonna change my life. But it didn't, right? Well, so we're talking about an encounter with Jesus, and don't get me wrong, I believe that it just takes one encounter to change your destiny and your eternity. One encounter with Jesus for that to change forever, right? If you connect with Jesus, encounter Jesus, and decide and make that decision to put your faith and follow Jesus, your eternity is changed. But dare I pose the idea that maybe it takes more than one encounter to have it really affect your life? Because I think we oftentimes love that encounter, we love that meetup with Jesus, but our daily life doesn't change. Our situations, our circumstance, the habits that we have, the situations that we find ourselves in didn't change. But yet we had that encounter with Jesus. What I think is important that we do or understand tonight is that we have to live in a place where we're having more than one encounter. So we're going to go to the Word of God. Before I do that, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you today, and I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity, Lord God, to be used as a vessel to speak to your people tonight, Father God. So I just set myself to the side, Lord God, and ask that you anoint my words, Lord God, that you, as you would open our eyes to hear what you, to see what you want us to see and hear what you would have us to hear, Father God. I pray that you speak to each individual, Father God, and that, yes, we have an encounter, Father God, that will stay in our hearts, Lord God, as you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, there is a song that I just really love called Glory to Glory. Can I get a witness? Anybody? Glory to Glory, Bethel Music. I'm not going to sing it tonight, but, you know, Glory to Glory. No, I'm not. I won't. No, I won't. You better stop, Angel, because you know I will make a fool of myself up here. All right, so can we get that up on the screen? So that song, Glory to Glory, actually, believe it or not, the song comes from a scripture. We're going to look in the NASB, verse number 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Real quick, the unveiled face, it's in reference to Moses when he goes up to meet up with God. He has a veil on because he so had such an encounter with Jesus that it lit him up. And he had this encounter with Jesus, and he did it with no veil over his face. But when he came down, he had to cover his face so as to not let the glory that was too powerful, that would affect the people that saw him. So I love Pastor Jim's definition of glory. God's manifested goodness, right? The goodness of God come to life or seen in our lives, right? That manifested. So here we are with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as in the Spirit of the Lord. Or another version says, from one degree of glory to another. From one degree of glory to another. So as we have these encounters with Jesus, we are meeting up with him in such a way that we are seeing his manifested goodness in our life, and we go from one degree to the next degree, to the next degree, to the next degree. To me, implies more than one encounter, right? So, you know, so here we are, we get our encounter with Jesus, and then our life goes back to the same. I'm proposing to you that we have to find ourselves in places and situations that we are meeting up with Jesus and going to one degree and meeting up with Jesus again to go to another degree, to have another encounter, to have another encounter, to have another encounter. Is this done by going to more church services? Is this done by playing worship music all the time? No, no. I propose to you that we have an encounter with Jesus whenever we open up that word of God. Yes, when we come to church. Yes, when we hear a worship band, we have an encounter. But don't think that the only time that you can have an encounter is when you come to church, because then you're waiting for the next week, or you're waiting for the next service, or the message that you like that tickled your ears, or I don't like this song, so I'm not going to have an encounter until they play my jam. Oh, nope, no, they didn't like, I don't like that one, so no encounter for me. Jesus is available for us to meet up with to take us to that next degree of glory. Not for our own glory, right? But to understand and witness the glory of God, so that when we look in the mirror, we are able to see the glory in us. See, because then we find ourselves in situations that we don't like. We find ourselves in going down the roads that, oh man, I know where that road leads me in my life. I thought I left that. See, but then you can understand that the glory of God is on you. His goodness is with you. Because we are having regular encounters. We are getting into the Word of God. We can encounter Jesus when we're praying. We can encounter Jesus through other people. Come on. We can encounter the glory of God anywhere around us. But are we making ourselves or putting ourselves in a situation where we are having encounters? What now? Right? Awesome service. Awesome series. We're some great speakers. We had awesome worship sets, right? Awesome. What now? What's going to be now in my life? We have to get ourselves in a position that we can find ourselves in glory to glory. I want to talk. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Last week we talked about Zacchaeus, right? And how by one meetup with Zacchaeus, it changed the course of Zacchaeus' life. But I would venture to say, I realize now, after studying it again, that I left that element out. I missed that part last week. I missed the part last week where it had to be more than one encounter. And now, knowing this, Jesus found himself in Capernaum often. So I would venture to say that he visited with Zacchaeus more than once. Right? So he had that encounter with Jesus, put his faith in him, said, I'll give up to four times what I've stolen away, and I'm going to give away half my goods. Why? Because I had an encounter with Jesus. But then when he gave away that money, like, oh man, this is tougher than I thought. Here comes Jesus. Oh, what's up, Jesus? Oh, yep, it's all worth it. Right? So when you put away habits, when you put away music, when you put away the club, when you put away dating this person or that person or sites or whatever it might be that you just think it might be works, but then you have another encounter with Jesus, like, that's right, that's worth it, that's why I do it. See, but then people say, but I had that encounter with Jesus, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm not serving God anymore. Well, he just didn't do it for me, or it got too hard. Well, I can ask, did you continue to have relationship? Did you continue to meet up with Jesus? Did you continue to encounter him? Here we are in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at, you know, talking about people who encountered Jesus. We're going to look at his disciples, more specifically Peter. Now, talk about people that had encountered Jesus. Now, this story that we're going to see in chapter 14, starting verse 22, is, and you'll probably see it in your headline, Jesus Walks on Water. So the timeline has this about maybe the third year into Jesus' ministry. Jesus is 32, right? He started his ministry at 30. So these disciples have been with him just about 3 years. 3 years in. What have they seen? They've seen miracle after miracle. They've seen healing after healing. They've seen him feed 5,000 people. They've seen people want to kill Jesus, and he had to duck out underneath the pile, the dog pile, to kill Jesus. They've experienced some stuff. They've had encounters. They've gone from encounter to encounter. But yet we find ourselves in this specific encounter. And what I want to highlight, I think, is so applicable for us today. Matthew chapter 14, again, we're going to look in the NASB, verse number 22. If you don't have the NASB in front of you, you can obviously, if you're looking on your phone, you can just go over. I like the NASB, New American Standard Bible. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. Now, in verse 21 that we were talking about, he had just fed the 5,000 people. So he just feeds the 5,000 people. He's like, you know what? I'm going to wrap up here. You guys get in the boat, and I'm going to go away. So he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went to the mountains by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone, talking about Jesus. But the boat was already long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So in the middle of the night, so the disciples are on the boat. It's been wind tossed, right? It's in the middle of the night. He came to them walking on the sea. He's walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if you command me to come to you in the water, if it is you, command me to come out on the water." So here we go, right? There's been 1,000 messages about Jesus walking on the water and Peter. But I want us to capture a few different things in these verses. Verse number 29. And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. Verse number 33, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." As if they just didn't see him feed 5,000 people. As if they hadn't seen him heal and do miracles and all this other stuff. But we want to go back to that last slide, if you would. Because I want us to look at something. In verse 29, and he said, right? And he said, "Come, Peter." Peter got out of the boat. We highlighted boat here because there's a couple times in these series of verses that he says boat. And what I want you to do is picture, in place of boat, I want us to put comfort zone. Or what we know, right? Our comfort zone. So if we look at this, Peter got out of his comfort zone and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But you have to imagine, so to get out of, he got out of the boat, you have to stand, right? So he got out of the boat and was standing on water right off the bat. Like, you would just think he would sink already. He hadn't sunk because he started walking. He did steps. So he got out of the water, and that had to be trippy. Like, have you ever got on, like, uncertain ground, right? It's, like, shaking. But he stood, got out of the water, and started walking towards Jesus. I want us to see this in verse 30. But seeing the wind, comma, he became frightened, comma, and beginning to sink, comma, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Four things happened here. Just like in 29, let me go back real quick. So he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, comma, that's one. He got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. Walked on the water and came to Jesus. So those three things. Got out of the boat, walked on the water, came towards Jesus. So those three things, and then we're looking at the four things that he did in verse number 30. A couple, we see these awesome positive things followed by the next part of being terrified. What I want us to take a look at now, can you bring up the next slide with the other notes? But seeing the wind. Now, in place of the wind, put your circumstance. Put your fears. Put attacks from the enemy, right? Or challenges and circumstances that you face. Right? So here he is. He saw the wind. Now, the wind was already there before. We saw that there was already the wind. There was wind when he started getting on the water. But now, as he's walking on water, the wind did something. Now, it's a difference to recognize a challenge, an attack, and it's a difference to let it affect you, right? Because you can recognize, like, oh, dang, that dude's big. He's about to hit me. And it's another thing when you get punched by it, right? Or how you might respond to it. So here he is, seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink, and then he cried out. A few things that I think we need to take away in terms of our encounter. We need to understand, and we see in verse 29, that when we get out of our comfort zone, there's these things that are going to happen. But after we have an encounter with Jesus, for it to change our life, there's going to be a time where we got to get out of the boat. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. We're going to have to get out of comfortable Christianity, out of saying, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Maybe getting out of the boat for you says, I mean, telling people that you're a Christian. Maybe that's a big, and I'm not demeaning that. Maybe that's getting out of the boat. But now you got to stand up. And now you got to walk. And now you got to go towards Jesus. So you get what I'm saying? You got to get out of your comfort zone. And then you got to stand. And then you're going to have to make some steps and go to Jesus. Get out of your comfort zone. Stand up for what you know is right. And walk towards Jesus. Because that's what an encounter, that's what makes it more than just, I encountered Jesus on the water. I see him. He called me out. I'm going to get out of this boat. See, because a real life change has some application to it, right? Because you don't actually recognize something unless you put some action behind it. In your relationships, you don't like, oh man, I like this girl, but I'm just going to, maybe you did that when you were younger, but someone, if you're dating somebody now, you recognize them, you were attracted to them, and then you had to get out of your comfort zone some kind of way. Maybe that nowadays looks like a text. I don't know. Actually, I used to have to call or face-to-face. Babe, I didn't even text you, right? I was, what's up, babe? How you doing? No, it was face-to-face. You were texting me. No, just kidding. I'm going to get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? There's a time that we're stepping out. We're getting out of the normal comfort zone and making steps, applicable steps, that are going to actually see change in our life. So we all have the change that we want. We all have our goals. You know, you don't have to talk to an ambitious person. You don't have to talk to them very long before they tell you, oh, yeah, I'm doing this, especially, you know, graduation season or people finishing up school. Yeah, this summer I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to internship. Next year I'm going to graduate, I'm going to apply here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to travel here, I'm going to go there. We have our goals, but what are we doing? For a lot of you, you want to be nurses, or you want to get a business degree, but you have yet to take an SAT or to apply to a college. Some of you want a relationship, but you're not calling that girl. You're not going up to her. You're trying to figure out ways that it's just going to happen. You get what I'm saying? There are times that we're going to have to get out of the boat. If we encounter Jesus, we are going to, let's bring it back to in our relationship with Jesus. Because we're going to have to recognize that if we're born again, if we are Christians, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone as Christians. We have to tell people that we're Christians. And then we're going to have to let it show in our lives. And we're going to walk towards Jesus, even when, if I tell people I'm a Christian, they're going to, we had this old coworker, she was a Christian. Once they found out she was a Christian, they persecuted her, they did this to her. I saw it, I witnessed it, I maybe even contributed a little bit. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. But at what point are we going to get out of that boat? See, because again, we hear all the time, Peter gets a lot of flack, but who else has walked on water besides Jesus? Now, another thing, you know what this circumstance shows us? Now, it's an object lesson for faith, definitely. But you know what this shows us? That we get to partner in the power of God. Don't you think walking on water that's some crazy stuff? Man, Jesus can do anything. But Peter did it too. Peter's a follower of Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus? God's inviting us to the access to the same power, the same miracle power, the same ability to pray for people and see them be healed, the same ability to defy science and walk on water. We've been invited into that power. So when you get out of that boat, it's not to go into the water. You're getting onto the boat to enter the same power that Jesus gave you. So be secure in that. Know that you're not just jumping into the boat to sink. You know, like, getting out of the boat isn't an invitation to sink to the bottom of the ocean. You know, you're not becoming a martyr by stepping out of the boat. I better tell someone I'm a Christian. Here it goes. No, you're getting out of the boat to walk on water. You're getting out of the boat to do what Jesus called you to do. You are invited into that same power. That being said, I want to share something with you. We have an announcement to make here at Shift Young Adults. I'm pumped. We got to share with some of our team leads and our volunteers before service tonight. But here goes my commercial for prayer on Wednesday mornings. Man, since the beginning of the year, we started praying on, it was Friday mornings. And then we changed it to Wednesday mornings. At 6 a.m., a handful of us, up to a dozen and more sometimes, we've seen fluctuations. But we are here faithfully week after week praying for you, praying for our lives, praying for each other, praying for what God's going to do in this ministry. You guys can join us every Wednesday. But in some of those prayers, if you recall, at the beginning of the year, we were casting the vision of what we wanted to see in this ministry. I know my wife and I, we were pumped as we took leadership of this ministry, along with an awesome team of people who were excited and pumped to see what God was going to do. And many of you are in this place, part of our team. And so that was our prayer. That was our cry. God, and I remember saying, we're going to go to the main, right? Meaning like on Friday's nights, we were going to get so big that this room wouldn't fit all of us, that we were going to have to go to the main sanctuary and have church in the main sanctuary. And I believed it. I was proclaiming it. I was speaking those things that weren't as if they were. And I was praying and I was praying, God, take us to the main. Well, after some prayer and some conversations with our senior leaders, I'm really excited. Because, God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that you're thinking, right? You might pray for something and you get it, but the way you got it just turned out differently. Well, I'm very excited to announce that starting Sunday, July 8th, our Shift Young Adult service is taking over the main sanctuary. We're gonna take over the service there. Now, if you caught the date, I said Sunday. So from July 8th through October 26th, 8 weeks, we're not going to have Friday night shift. We're going to have Sunday night shift. We're not going to have Friday night shift. We're going to have Sunday night shift. Oh, man. So let me just explain some of these things to you. Let me get some of the practical sides of this. And then I want to parallel it with what God's going on. Because we had a word from God to come. Right? And now we're getting out of the boat. We're going to get out of the comfort zone of a Friday night. Shift is turning 15 years old. August 26th, we're going to have a 15-year birthday bash. We're going to have food. We're going to have fun. We'll probably dance. We don't have it all planned yet. But we're going to celebrate 15 years as a young adults ministry. Pastors Dan and Jess, when they got back from Bible college, they started on Friday nights. Anybody been here all 15 years? My wife? More or less, you've been at this church long enough to kind of poke in and out over the last 15 years. You're not that old, baby. I mean, you're young. You're, not a day over 18, right? So 15 years, we're going to celebrate August 26th. But that means for 15 years, we've been on Friday nights. We've changed the time from 9 o'clock down to 8 o'clock, down to 7 o'clock. And we've seen some fluctuations in attendance and tried some different things. But we're going to try something really big this time. We're going to take a risk. But I believe we're going to stand. I believe we're going to stand. So we're going to go on Sunday nights, 6 o'clock, young adults. Sunday nights, 6 o'clock, same beautiful faces just here on a Sunday night. Now, why? Why are we doing this? I believe it's a risk that we're going to take. Like I said, we've been 15 years. We want to try something new. We want to take a risk. And I think there's a lot of young adults that maybe work on Friday nights. Maybe you've invited people that can't come because on Friday nights they work or they have this or that. Or a lot of times, Friday nights people have plans. And we want to continue to reach out to maybe people that don't always come to church. Or that getting them into church is really difficult. Because on Friday nights, they hit the bars, or they do this, they hit the clubs, they have plans to go out here, or they have there, they worked a long week, they just want to sit at home. We want those people. We've been praying for those people all year long. Send us the people that maybe don't have a church etiquette, that maybe don't understand amen and hallelujah, and come on, that's good. And that's okay. Come on, church, do we want people that don't know Jesus yet? Because we want to tell them about Jesus. So we want to maybe move to a night that might be easier for them, maybe a little bit more palatable for them to come on a Sunday night, 6 o'clock. So I'm excited to announce, guys, that for these 8 weeks, we're going to step out. We're going to take a risk, and we're going to walk to Jesus. Now, it's going to be our same teams, right? Maybe you're a volunteer with us. We want you to volunteer with us on Sunday. Our worship team's going to be up here. Our teaching team is going to teach. And we're just going to rock Sunday nights. But guess what? The current Sunday night service is not going away. There's going to be people who are not shift age. They're maybe a little bit older that come on Sundays, and that's when they can come, so that's when they come. But we're going to honor them, guys. We're going to celebrate them. We're going to say thanks for letting us be a part of your service. We're not going to say, oh, get out of our way. It needs to be, you know, I want it to be young. Guys, it's our service in that, hey, it's going to be geared towards having inviting an atmosphere for young people, but we're not pushing anybody out. We're not taking anything over in the sense of you can't serve here anymore, you can't come here anymore. We're just bringing our life, our vibrancy, and we want to show. I love what Reverend Beth was saying, that we get to share what's happening here on Friday nights, the encounters that we've been having, the atmosphere that we get to provide. We get to share it with the main sanctuary. Is that cool with everybody? And we get to have the same liberties on a Friday night that we're going to have them on a Sunday night. It's just, guys, I'm so excited. I really am. I mean, this is one of those answers to prayer that I'm learning more in my walk and my journey with God all the time. Because you could have told me, yeah, I know God answers prayers differently than how we think. But when I said, man, we're going to go to the main, I wasn't thinking it would be on a Sunday. But I had to step out. I had to pray, get a release from God to even approach Pastor Dan about this. Because it's kind of a big deal, guys. It's kind of a big deal. Like, there's a current service already in there. I'm like, hey, all your teams, like, hey, we'll take care of it. So with that announcement, I didn't hear very many gasps or anything like that. Are you guys cool with that? Is that okay? Is that something that excites you guys? I know it's a little bit different. Maybe some of you can't. Maybe you can't come on Sunday nights. You do have work, or you are out of town, or you have work at 4 o'clock in the morning Sunday, and you're in bed by 5 o'clock. Or I'm sorry, on Monday, so you're in bed by 5 on Sunday. I want to share this with you. During those 8 weeks, in the next coming weeks here, we're going to put out a flyer or a calendar. We want to have opportunities. We're still going to have opportunities for Connect. I invite you to get in Shift Socials when we start those back up again. But we're gonna set up times or dates where we go to Mountain Grove, we go to Mount Rubidoux and hike, and we go eat, and we just hang out. You know, the retreat, that's a great time for you guys to come up. Whether or not you register that Friday night, you guys can come up. And we want to connect with you guys. We don't want you to disengage from the community. Because what makes us unique as a ministry is that what we connect with God and we connect with each other. And we're going to continue to do that. Because after each Sunday night service, we're going to have vendors. We're going to have the volleyball net out there. We're going to have games. It's a great and perfect opportunity for you to bring people that might not otherwise come to church. Hey, we're going to have a volleyball tournament afterwards. Or we're going to have cornhole or whatever. You know, we're going to have, it's going to be a great time. Service will last an hour and a half or so-ish, right? And then we'll get out and we'll celebrate. And we'll just hang out as a family. Has anyone been to the Sunday night connects that we've had in the past summers? Right, where we just kind of put the games out there. Always a great time. We just get some tacos or a hot dog or whatever it might be and just chill as a family. And so I want you guys to get excited. I want you guys to get behind this. I want to invite you guys to see this as an opportunity. As an opportunity for you to share and invite people that might not have come on a Friday night and share what we got going on in the main. Because God wants to unite maybe an older generation with the young generation. And we're gonna see maybe some older faces. Dad, I didn't plan on shouting you out, but my dad has been coming the last few weeks, and I love my dad so much, man. My dad is my hero, man, no doubt about it. And I've invited my parents. Mom, Dad, you guys were great parents to me. I'd love to have you guys come around some of us younger folks and just rub off that love, that encouragement that I know I got. My parents always... Man, they never made me feel like I couldn't do something. If I came with them with an idea of what I wanted to do, they would figure out how they could help me. There's no doubt. I don't want to start crying, but I'll get off that because I have an ugly cry, guys. It's bad all the time. Like the Oprah, I do that. Like, or I can't even talk. So we won't go there. But we want to see some older faces. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe there's some people that didn't have godly parents or parents around at all. And that you need some older people that are going to be in your life. We want some of that gray hair. We want some of that wisdom. We want some of those bald heads. We want some of that. Come on, it's all good. Maybe you have a bald head already. I'm getting there. It's all good. But we want some of that. We don't want to push people out. We want to celebrate them. We want to see, hey, what can you pour into my life? We want to get around that. And it's a great opportunity for us to do that, for us to connect. So are we good with that? We're going to be wrapping up here pretty soon. But I want us to know this. Because it just happened to work out so well in what God was saying. Because it's not like, oh, we're going to preach and then just do this announcement. But it really is that stepping out in this fashion is the way that we as a ministry are doing it. And so I challenge you to figure out how you can step out in your life. What does it look for you guys to step out of the boat? See, because in verse number 30, great, he did all these awesome things, right? He stepped out of the boat and walked. But seeing the wind, remember we talked about wind, seeing your circumstances, and then he became frightened. That's a choice. So you can see circumstances, and you can keep walking, or you can see circumstances and get frightened. And even if you get frightened, and then he began to sink. But let me tell you, maybe you've sank. But what's this next part? And he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And what did he do? Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. So he got enough out of the boat to get within an arm's reach of Jesus. To get within an arm's reach of Jesus. Let me tell you this. You are always within an arm's reach of Jesus. You are always just, oh, Jesus, save me away. Don't ever feel so lost. Don't let yourself get so discouraged with what you've done, with your performance as a Christian, with what you've weighed on you, to think that you're more than an arm's reach away from just saying, Jesus, save me. Because really, it's not like Jesus is letting you sink. It's we kind of try to do stuff on our own, and Jesus is right there to pick us up. So maybe you have gotten out of the boat and you've started to sink. Or maybe you've gotten frightened by the circumstances. Maybe you've lost some battles. We just got to cry out to Jesus. Can we get the keys up here? We're going to be wrapping up. I know I wasn't going to take long tonight, but I just knew that there had to be this challenge. I challenged you with this. Last week we talked about a challenge and what that would look like, how you can have an encounter with Jesus. But today's challenge, what can you do? What does it look like to step out for you? See, because walking on water represents defying the odds. Walking on water represents breaking the laws of, what is it, gravity, of science, of anything around us. Not just in this ministry are we going to walk on water. But because we are partnering with Jesus. And Peter's the everyday guy. Peter is me and you. Because Peter denied Jesus. Peter was that disciple who had seen everything. You've seen everything in your life. You've been rescued. You've been to the altar before. Then you walked away. And then you did this. And then you came back here. And then you slid into those habits. And you've cried out. And you feel so horrible. But Peter has been right there. And here's Peter. He just finished seeing him feed 5,000 men. Probably 15,000 people. Out of nothing. And yet, he sees circumstance and got scared. But he was walking to Jesus, but he still knew. Even in his falling, he knew he was just, save me, Jesus, away. There's people in this place who are a save me, Jesus, away. And he's going to catch you in his arm. But when you leave this place today, can you step out of the boat? Go and close your eyes. I want you to just take a moment of think about what stepping out of the boat looks like for you.